Well, thank you again for show up and be here and be part of this service. It's the service to close our weekend. And well, I ask you guys put a keep your attention to Brother Jacobson, pastor of this church, and what he has to say to us. And I give you guys our brother and pastor Jacobson, Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Jose. And good evening to all of you and those that are live streaming as well. I have to reel my mind back into the focus on the sermon tonight. That was a, man, it always stirs the emotions when you see the time and the little ones. And, you know, one of those things that makes you wish that you could rewind. But at the same time, I'm thankful for where I'm at. With the exception of getting older. There was one picture there that really caught my attention, and it was, and I still do it to this day, is with the three of my kids on my back. We were playing dinosaurs, and I'm always the dinosaur. And a lot of your kids, Ashton and Harper and Sophia, River, have been over to our house. Brooke babysits quite a bit, and I still play dinosaur, and I enjoy it. You know, it's one of those things as a father that it's that time that you have with your kids, and you see pictures like that, and that really tugs on the heartstrings. It's those are good times, and it's such an amazing blessing to see the amusement of a child, how they get so amused when you're being silly. So that's probably why I'm still silly. And they really appreciate all that. And a lot of them don't remember it, but when you see pictures, it really kind of strikes you deep inside. It really touches your heart. And I'm thankful for that. And all the fathers, and the ability to be able to reflect back. And here we are today. And one of the things I've been thinking about, and I ran across this through a podcast, how God's lessons give us strength. And, you know, we learn a lot of lessons. Our brothers here in the ministry, they try to teach and to help us be able to deal with, to cope, to be strong, to have courage, and all these things that are very important to the welfare of our souls. And so I wanted to start with reading in Psalms 19, and I'm going to read just a couple verses here. And it's I'm going to start in verse 7, and I'm going to read through verse 11. And it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." And this is one of the things that really I've been trying to teach myself to do, is keeping the commandments of the Lord, staying focused, not deviating from the laws, from the morals, the ethics that we are taught through the gospel. And this is one of the verses here, verse 9. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." This was actually part of Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address speech. And we were actually talking about this morning with some things that were transpiring this week with the Ten Commandments in Louisiana. I appreciated my brother's study and our talk, our discussion last Sunday night. It got me thinking, and, you know, I started looking into some things myself, and fortunately ran across this. And this is actually etched in stone. at the Lincoln Memorial. And so it's one of those things that through the ages of time still has meaningful impact to a lot of people, and it should have an impact to us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And you know, as we go and as I've gone through life, it's ironic how some of the things that appear to be so difficult through my eyes turn out to be fairly simple when I'm said and done and through the process of whatever it may be. Those things that cause me stress, those things that cause me anxiety, that I'm really get that I get worked up to do because of the enormous amount of responsibility that is involved in that. But I found that through prayer, through reaching out to the Lord, that He's really made these things easier. And it's because of Him, He's easy, He's lightened that load, just like our brother said this morning. You know, His burden is light. He helps us through that. He's really helped me through that. One of the things I wanted to start with originally was telling you a story. So I wanted to tell you a story. And I ran across this through one of the podcasts. It was just a little snippet of it that caught my attention. And it was a story about pushing the rock. And the author is unknown. And I wanted to go through this story and kind of just talk about a few things. And there's some encouraging things that I've gotten through this that I wanted to share with you. So I'm going to start off. So if you got your blanket, get your blanket out, and we're going to have a story. It's story time. I'm just kidding. But I'm being silly. But once upon a time, no, just kidding. So, all right. So there was a man who was sleeping at night in his cabin when suddenly his room filled with light and the Savior appeared. The Lord told the man he had a work for him to do and showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against that rock with all his might. This the man did. Day after day, for many years, he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders squarely set against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. So I have a depiction of this story up there, as you can see, thankfully, because the last time I was here, I was trying to show you pictures, and that didn't work out so well. But here is the man. A depiction of the man pushing on the rock. And as you can imagine, you know, some of these things that the Lord puts in place for us to do could be pretty daunting. It could be like overwhelming to us. And I think about these things and how much labor this man put in to push this rock. You know, this is a huge undertaking. We know the laws of physics, that it's, you know, basically impossible for a man to move tonnage. And you got a big rock like this, it's going to weigh several tons, and you're going to need some heavy machinery to be able to move the rock. But, you know, the man was obedient. He listened to the Lord, and he was pushing on that rock. You know, he was pushing it sun up to sun down. I'm sure he was tired. I'm sure he was hungry. He had to deal with the elements, the weather, the cold, the hot. We're dealing with the hot right now. We can all relate to that because, man, it is hot out there. But, you know, nevertheless, the Lord gave him a work to do, and he was focused and set his mind to do it. And so each night, the man returned to his cabin, sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. You know, there's like this change of mindset going on here. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind, such as, "You've been pushing against that rock for a long time and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You are never going to move it. thus giving the man the impression that the task was impossible, that and that he was a failure. But you know what, when I was thinking about this story and this position that the man's in, you know, he's approached by Satan and Satan's telling him this. You know, one of the things I think of is Matthew 17:20. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence ye to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. But what is going on in this gentleman's head? You know, what is in the world? I've been pushing on this thing. You know, I have a few words up here to express some of his emotions that were probably brewing inside of him. Discouragement. He's tired of trying, you know, getting up every day and getting after the grind of applying this pressure to the rock. And the stinking thing is getting nowhere. So this is impossible. But, you know, are we going to give up? The Lord gives us a work to do. He tells us to push the rock. Are we going to give up? Are we going to walk away? Are we going to let temptation of Satan come into our lives and change the course of what God intended for us to do? You know, is this us thinking that? Is Satan stirring our thoughts? Is he the one that's working behind the scenes, trying to get us to take the easy way out? And so, these thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man even more. And he starts thinking, why kill myself over this, he thought. I'll just put in my time, giving just the minimum of effort, and that will be good enough. And that he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer, and he took his troubled thoughts to the Lord. And so, you know, this is a difficult position. You know, you come to a point where you feel absolutely beaten. There's no winning this process. It's never ending. It ain't gonna change. You know, a lot of us know that repeating the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results and getting the same results, is the definition of insanity. But the Lord told him what to do, you know, and we learn through the scripture that we bring it to the Lord in prayer. And it says here in Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, right? But I have a kind of little bit of an idea that if we stay focused and we put our burden before the Lord, you know, the things that be moved will be moved by the Lord. It's funny how that works. But we have to stay on task. You know, we have to be focused. And so then he reached out to the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged the rock a half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing? To this, the Lord responded compassionately, I'm sure it was a soft voice. My child, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done, right? Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. He didn't give him that instruction. Your task was to push. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscled. Your back is sinewed and brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure, and your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock, but your calling was to be obedient and to push and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done. I, my child, will now move the rock. And so it's kind of ironic how we get this different perception of being told to do something, and our mind starts thinking in other ways, you know? The Lord told him, to push the rock. He didn't tell him to move it, just to push on it. And there's going to be this trial in our lives all the time. All the time, this opposition is going to be everywhere. It's going to be making us, the Lord's going to be putting this in place for us to be exercised, for us to have our faith exercised, our trust in Him exercised, and the wisdom that He has to be exercised. You know, these things here that we have, that the Lord gives us strength, courage, wisdom, discernment, the ability to stay focused, are all gifts that are given by Him. And so, you know, we cannot give up. You know, if the Lord gives us something to do, we cannot give up. And no matter what the opposition is, no matter how frustrated we get, no matter what's going on in our environment where we're trying to be pulled away from it, even inside of our own minds, that battle that we have of just letting it go, changing the course, taking a different route, because a lot of times we think that we have it figured out. But if we really listen to the Lord, He's the one that has it figured out. I wanted to talk about a couple little things here. And the objective of this is to not give up. And a few sermons ago, I talked to you folks about a couple little things next to my driveway. They're little palm buds that I propagated off a palm in my walkway. And I thought they were dead, but I didn't give up on them. You know, and I took these pictures yesterday, and I've been really excited to do this, not just because of these baby palms, but I have three of them. And as you can see here, the first one there, I'm going to try to do this. Here we go. Look at that. So this one here, it's actually, you know, and Jose showed a picture this morning that reminded me of this as well. This here is the beginning of months and months of not giving up on these little baby palms. So that's one of them. The other one, this here is a little fuzzy bud that's going to bust out one of these little palm leaves. Those palm leaves are only like that big, but it's alive. It's alive. There was days when I was like, you know what? Costco had a sale on these palms that were this big and beautiful, and they were $30. And I was like, I'm just going to buy these puppies or however much they cost. And I was going to rip out these little ones, put the new ones in, and it was going to be really nice. But, you know, in my heart, I was like, I gave a little bit of love, not a little bit, a lot of love to these little guys. And I cherish the nurturing of taking something and seeing the life come from it. You know, Costco is great. They have great palms for sale, but this is different. This is something that God has given me to be able to nurture, to look at, to appreciate, to see grow, to see life come from it, even though when I thought in my mind it was dead and worthless. And I think about that, you know, how many times do we think that, or can we think that, we're worthless? We can't do it. You know, it's not going to happen. And we put our trust in the Lord, and all of a sudden life comes from it. These two little guys, and hopefully the third, there's going to be a lot of enjoyment from my heart for these little palms. And I think about that, and I think about the enjoyment God gets when He gives people opportunities to stay focused, to stay on path, and to see the growth that they have from that. To see these things that come out from a desolate place, from something that supposedly was dead. But there's always life in Christ. No matter where we're at in life, no matter how dry the soil is, no matter how trodden down we are, there's always that life if we give our lives over to Christ. He has the living waters that that help us be able to spring new life into our lives. And it's really interesting because I enjoy this process, especially with palms. I don't know, there's something about palms that I really appreciate. I'll embarrass my wife when we go to the post office up here. You know that along the perimeter in the front, there's a bunch of palms at the local post office up the street here. And they're putting out all these little babies. And boy, I got excited the other day. I jumped out of the car and Alicia was like, "You're gonna get arrested, you knucklehead." And I pulled one of the buds off and put it in the backyard. And I scheme all these ways of maybe going to the post office and bring a little shovel and say, "Hey, I'll take care." Because you go every once in a while and they're all gone. And I know they just cut them off and throw them in the garbage. But, you know, God doesn't do that. God sees the good that comes from us and he can propagate that. And that's what we should be helping to do as well. Helping to bring and spread life around us, to show others the way, to bring them the shade, the fruit of the Lord, you know, that shade, the fruit, the limbs that we grow and that we spread about, you know, it brings comfort to people. One of the things that with this story I wanted to share was in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, in that story of the man pushing the rock, don't give up. There's something always to fight for, especially if it's given to us by the Lord. And whatever position that we're in during the fight, we have to know that the Lord is ready to be there and willing to help us out, to give us the strength to do those things that need to be done, such as move the rock. That rock, we rely on the Lord to help us move. You know, we can't do it all ourselves. And so I have a few things up here, but importantly, the Lord has work for you to do. And in that work, there's going to be oppositions. There's going to be easy way outs. There's going to be opportunities to put in minimal effort. One of the things that I think about is Jesus and how he faced opposition wherever he went. There was constant pressure on Jesus, and that had to be difficult. That had to be difficult, but in his perfectness, he was able to overcome, and he knew exactly what to do. And so these places that he went, the oppositions, people trying to kill him, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, you know, it's important that we take the scriptures in and that we learn about those things and see how Jesus dealt with them. And I always look at that, how calmly and obedient the Lord was to the Father, and how powerful the simple little things that he done at the right time and at the right moment for the people as an example of his love and his compassion, how powerful that was. And in Psalms 37, 5 through 7, it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him." And that's one of the hardest things that we have, is waiting for the Lord. Waiting, just like this man pushing the rock. You know, your mind starts telling you different, and you're losing your focus. Satan comes in and wants to change the course, take you off course, take you down the wrong path. But we know, as the scriptures tell us, to have patience in the Lord. There is rest in that. There is rest in that. We're going to talk about a gentleman that I believe is a perfect example of having patience in the Lord. But I wanted to, if you want, you could turn to John chapter 5. I'm going to read some verses out of there. We're starting at verse 1. And this is a gentleman of 38 years old, and he was laying by this pool, and he had an illness to where there's a lot of different things that they were saying could be wrong with him. He had lost control. He could have had palsy. He had no capability of his limbs. This is at the pool of Bethesda. Thank you. It's at Bethesda. And we're going to read a few verses here. We're going to talk about this pool a little bit. This is a scaled model of the temple. You can see in the background. And, oh, let me get out that laser pointer. This is the east wall over here. And this is the pool right here. And with the five porches. And so this is what we're going to talk about, this area here. And so there was a ton of people here at the time. As we're going to start in John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, after there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. Ugh. Having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And I want you to remember that in verse 4. Whoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole. So remember that. So this pool derived from the Hebrew. I put the Hebrew word up there as well. Bethesda, it means house of mercy or grace, right? So they call these pools Bethesda, the house of mercy, a house of grace. For which is really interesting because this is where Jesus was going to. You know, there's all these people. So it was the Passover, the gathering of the feast. All these people were in Jerusalem to pay tribute. And where does Jesus go? He doesn't go to the palaces. He doesn't go to the politicians, to the Sadducees, to be seen of. He goes where the people are ill, where the people are sick, where they're needing to be tended to. You know, one of the things that I understand is, and I'm sure we can all understand, is that during this time of Christ, there's no hospitals, there's no urgent cares. You know, there's just this hope, this idea of, hey, if I do this, I'll be made whole. And there's so many, there's the weak, the feeble, they're wanting to get into these waters. And this is a well sought after place, as if a hospital would be. If we were sick or ill or injured, that's where we would go. And so this is where Christ goes. You know, he's not there to mingle with the hierarchy and to make himself known, but he is going to make himself known through the compassion and love that he has for those that are weak and those that are ill and disabled. And so I wanted to say again that it's interesting that in verse 4, you know, the angel stirs the water, and the ones that are first to get in, that, you know, as I was studying this, they were talking about how the Lord sets things in place, but it's up to us to get to that place. Just like when the Lord stretches out his arm, we have to reach out and grab the Lord and reach out to him as well. There's a work on our part. But obviously in this situation, the gentleman of 38 years old, he couldn't do that. He was there. And so, you know, he has a conundrum that he's really in, because, you know, one of the things that I've gathered from this is that there are people being healed, correct? And, you know, if there's compassion among those that are around him. You think they would help him into the water, and it didn't happen. I wanted to say that, you know, it's interesting. Let me go here. That this gentleman, as he's approached by the Lord, you know, in a way, he's not even thinking about himself. And so let's read on. It says in verse 5, "And a certain man was there, which he had an infirmity of 38 years, was lame longer than most live." And I found that interesting too, and I did some search on what was the average lifespan of an individual in the time of Christ. 38 years, 40 years, 70 years, it was all over the place. But probably depending on what disease, what sickness you had, you know, if you had a serious disease, you probably weren't going to live past 40. You know, it was going to take you down. But he had lost the use of his limbs, at least on one side. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now there a long time in that case, he saith unto them, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And I found that interesting too. He asked him the question, "Will you be made whole?" Wow, that is a very interesting question from Christ to this gentleman. You know, there's a couple things I kind of thought of. You know, is he trying him? You know, is his first reaction going to be, "Well, you know, if you're Jesus, you should do this." You know, where's his mind at this time? And we'll read on and see that. But there's also the opportunity here for Jesus to teach the mercy that he has for his children. And so in verse 7 it says, "The impotent man answered him, and sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So, in a way. But I wanted to go back and talk about this. That that gentleman was saying that he didn't have no man when the water was troubled. Basically, what he was telling Jesus, "I don't have nobody to help me here." And you would think in this situation, when all these people need help, that they would lift each other up. But one of the things, as I was studying, it says that it's interesting in these peculiar situations, that it's every man for himself. People become desperate. They see the good there right in front of them, and nope, sorry, I'm jumping in this water. That's my opportune moment. And they don't think about others. And unfortunately for this man, you know, he was there a long time, laying there, trying to get to the water, but there was no friend there to help him. But who comes? Jesus does. And he probably picked him out because I'm sure the man was immobile, and I'm sure that being immobile, it probably is a very uncomfortable and maybe to some unapproachable situation to where you can't use the facilities. You have to, you know, you soil yourselves. And these very unfortunate things are happening. And so, you know, Jesus sees this. The guy was probably really in a bad shape and said, "Hey, I'm going to show this gentleman mercy, but I'm going to ask him, wilt thou be made whole?" And so him not saying that he was owed to be made whole, or that he felt that he deserved to be made whole, you know, he said, "I don't have any friends to help me. I don't have nobody there." And so Jesus, I see that, he became his friend. He impacted that whole situation. And you know, it's kind of interesting too, when we talk about that, everyone for himself, I think of the body of Christ and the selflessness that goes along with that, and how important that is, you know, that we always remember that, you know, when somebody can't do something for themselves, that we offer the help to be able to do that. There's blessings in that, just like Jesus blessed this gentleman. And I wanted to say that you know, these opportunities that we have in many ways are very similar to this situation. And the work that the Lord called us to do is important, that we keep doing it, that we keep pushing, that we don't look and see and get distracted about all the things that are going on around us. And, you know, if somebody stands in need of help, that we're quick to be that friend, to lift that person up. I think about the last few years and some of the struggles that I've gone through, and you know, I don't find pity on myself, but I find power in God to help me be able to change and to do those things that can be tough, that can be challenging, you know. And even if I feel inside that I'm pushing on this giant boulder and it ain't moving, I know there's a purpose in it that the Lord gives, and there's a lesson, and there's strength that comes from that. And this situation here, you know, and making changes and doing something, from a cripple picking up his bed and walking, you know, this is a big deal because it was on the Sabbath day. All the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were like, all right, now we can kill this guy. We're going to kill Jesus because he defied the law. He is not supposed to do this. But to take the detention off of Jesus and put it on this man, you know, he had to have a lot of courage to be able to do that too, because he probably knew the repercussions that might come upon him with doing what Christ told him to do and proving that he is a loving Savior. So there's a lot of things going on here and a lot of lessons that I've learned from this. It helps me be able to self-reflect on myself and understand that, you know, no matter what it is, just keep pushing on the rock. All the things that are going on around, don't focus on that, because even though it looks like nothing's changing, something is changing. And a lot of times we can't see that. And a lot of times it's in other people's hearts. And just like those two baby palms, you think that it's a lost cause, that you just throw it out and discard it. But life comes from it if you keep trying. You know, and that's where it's important, the body of Christ. That's why it was built. That's why it was designed, structured like that. It says here in Psalms 37, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that will wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And this is one of the Beatitudes. And it's important for us to remember that, you know, these things, these experiences that we go through have a meaning and have a purpose. And it helps us and trains us and exercises us. And all the words that the Lord gives us are there for us to be able to prosper from. You know, and one of the things that this here I wanted to talk about was to have that patience. Is no matter how long the struggle is, no matter how long do I need to do this, how awful is this going to be, how challenging is this going to be, the Lord keeps account for that. He knows that in our afflictions that there's a given amount of time. You know, our bearings on time are a lot different than the Lord's. And for whatever reason, for however long, always remember that God knows the time and the times that have been, are, and will be. And that's what we put trust in. You know, no matter how difficult it is, in the end, if we remain true and if we remain faithful, the Lord is going to help us be able to overcome. And it says in Romans 15, 1 through 3, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So I should have put this on a previous slide. I apologize. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So that's something there that, you know, the strong bear up the infirmities of the weak. And I'm thankful for that, you know. The capabilities that we have, the talents that the Lord gives us, you know, we have strengths. And those strengths uplift each other, you know. It's our personalities that can uplift each other. It's our talent of music that can lift up others. It's young ones with jokes can lift up others. I think I actually was embarrassing myself because I was laughing louder than a lot of people. But those are my kind of jokes. That's what I relate to. As simple as it is, I appreciate it. I love it. And, you know, there's things that all of us do that others love. Remember that. Remember that. That brings life into those things that need it, that need a change, that want to grow something new and learn of something new. So remember that. John chapter 5. And why do we do this? Why do we do this? And I thought about that. And further down, after you read how they wanted to kill Jesus, you know, you get down to 23 and 24, you know, there's a lot being said in these couple verses here. I almost feel sorry. No, I do feel sorry for, they're no longer with us, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they just didn't get it. They just didn't get it. And, you know, here we are, but we have the capability and the ability for other people to get it. And that is, getting it is the love of Christ and seeing it and proving it and exercising it. It's through our exercising it that people have that in their lives. But here we do that to honor God for all that he gives us. And it says in John 5, 23, 24, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And, you know, that's one of the things, one of the ways we show God the honor that he deserves is by just hanging in there. You know, hang in there, doing what we're called to do. And it's going to change us. It physically changes us, emotionally changes us, and spiritually changes us. We were at the gym the other day. My son Logan, he has his workout. And I was like, all right, let's do it. You know, let's get after it. And one of them was hanging and pulling your legs up. And I've never done that before. And it was challenging because he's doing 20 leg pull-ups while hanging on a bar. And it wasn't so much that pulling up my legs was difficult. It was the hanging that was difficult. Boy, I haven't hung like that ever. And like I do pull-ups, but just hanging, it's challenging. But I know from experience that, you know, going and doing things repetitively build strength in whatever it is you're doing, whether you're playing the guitar, the air guitar. I love to play the air guitar, air drums. I play air drums a lot too. But, you know, these things, when you practice them, it becomes, you become more and more capable of doing that. And you learn what to do, what not to do. We recently, so there's this challenge. It's called A lot of people do it on Memorial Day or after. It's called a MRF, and it's dedicated to Navy SEAL Michael Murphy. Oh, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Michael Murphy. Yes, I did remember. I looked it up because Logan called me up and he said, hey, Dad, we just did the MRF at work. You know, it was brutal. And I was like, what's the MRF? And it's a workout dedicated to this gentleman, Michael Murphy. There's a movie about it. It's called The Lone Survivor. And he was a Navy SEAL that actually called in a quick response force, QRF, from Iraq in Afghanistan. They were on a mission, and he gave his life for that. And he was the first recipient of the Medal of Honor since the Vietnam War. And so he did a workout was dedicated to him. It's called the MRF. And you do, you wear a 20-pound vest, and you do 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats. Wait, before that, you run a mile, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 air squats, and then run another mile, all with that 20-pound vest. And I was like, dang, that's crazy. And so I was like, well, I'm on my way to the gym. I'll go ahead and I'm going to try this. You know, I just really wanted to do it. And so I didn't have a 20-pound vest. So I called it the Slacker MRF. And then for short, I called it the Smurf. Yeah. It wasn't just for that joke. But I've been riding that joke. That's the last of it. But I did it. And man, it was every bit of difficult, and I paid for it. You know, I don't want to say I got myself in too deep, but that was a Monday. It was Monday, Memorial Day, and then I was feeling better Thursday, and it was not the pull-ups or the push-ups or the mile. It was the 300 air squats, because I never do that. But, you know, it's something that I tell my kids, the things you don't like to do is what you should be doing if it's good for you, you know, if it's good for you. And I think a lot of that relates to our spiritual walk as well. You know, the things that you're uncomfortable with doing, get out of your box and do some of those things, because it builds character. It helps you spiritually and it strengthens you. And, you know, over time, it becomes easier and easier and easier. You know, I don't know if anybody saw it, but when I was up here singing, Brandon walked by, I was grabbing him. I was like, okay, let's sing. You know, it's something different. But when we're ready and when we're pushing, you know, and when we're constant and when we're focused on doing those things for the Lord, then he steps in when we think, not when we think, but when we need him most. You know, when we are at that point of giving up, it's kind of funny how, and ironic, how he knows that. He knows where we're at, when we're there, and when he's needed, and he helps us. You know, and that's what prayer does. It helps us be able to give him that information and call out to him. And so we have to believe, you know, and that's the thing. Believing in the things we can't see is so important. Those things that God does for us, and letting that have an impression on us that we can share with others. That is so important. And if we follow his instructions, we're going to start seeing not just words, but we're going to start seeing his actions. And we're going to start seeing life. You know, we're going to start seeing those things come out of nowhere. Something that I gave up on, you know, these little palms. I gave up on them, in a way. But I had hope. And I just left them there. Keep them on the watering schedule. And here they are. 2 out of 3. I'm hoping for the third. So there's a lot of hope in these little guys. And that's, I believe, the Lord thinks the same way. I have hope. And my little guys, my little girls, you know, my children. And we have to listen for those things, those opportunities. and follow his instructions. And so, oh, I thought I had one more verse to share with you, but I don't. And so, thank you. I thought I'd put one more in here. Okay, so I didn't, but I hope you got something from this. I hope that just those couple of things that I shared with you, story time was good, and that there's something that you seen tonight that changed you a little bit to where something new might be growing, and you can take that opportunity and be a blessing with it. So thank you, and God bless.